Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I just finished welcoming everyone here in the church, and now I welcome you on the live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from good old BCFC in Randallstown, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us. One thing that I've done is I have, just out of curiosity, I don't do this every single week. I might do this maybe once a month, as the Lord is my witness. I'll go and check to see how many views are there, right? I was like, man, I feel good about this message, or I don't feel so good about this message. Let me see how many people actually watch this. Ooh. And I noticed that during lunchtime on Sunday, it'll be a certain count, but then the next day, while I'm at work, I go and check it again, and it's a higher count. So this could be potentially Monday. This could be potentially Tuesday that you're looking at me right now. Welcome regardless, wherever it might be. I sincerely hope that the Lord is speaking to you and not me. I hope that you're hearing from God and not myself. Amen. I have somewhat of a brief Bible study this evening. And let us get straight to the Word. Let's start with the opening word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this gathering here this evening. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those who are here congregating, Lord, with us, fellowshipping with us, Lord, just loving on you. As we always say, Lord, we love you, and we will always love you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will come and take precedence in our midst. Show up, Lord, and show off, just as you always do. Lord, and as I always say, may they see you and hear from you, Lord, your Holy Spirit, and not me. Take all the glory and honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I hope you're not offended by the title of my message this evening. I don't know if you're going to... I found this to be a little bit on the funny side when I read the passage. But you further understand why the message is called... It's titled what it is. And it's titled, Dumb Dogs. Dumb Dogs. Ooh, what a title. Pastor, you couldn't come up with a better title than that? Well, hear me out. Just hear me out for a second. When the subject of man's best friend comes up, you either hear praises for the dog, or you hear stories of how silly or dumb a dog is. Now, let's face it, we've all heard it. We've all known of a dog or owned a dog that wasn't all there. It just did the most silliest things. And then we've all had a dog that was as sharp as a whip. The expression dumb dog has become part of our culture. And it implies to be a person that has not behaved as a proper person should. That's what it refers to. Now, let me give you some illustrations and some examples, right? A dog that barks at nothing. A lot of people call it a dumb dog, wouldn't you say? Well, that's a dumb dog. Why is that dog barking? We used to be missionaries in Suriname. In the late 80s, from 1989 to 1993. And my parents went back to the mission field in the mid-2000s for a couple of years. And I still remember when my mom told me this a couple of weeks ago. It might have been last week. Yeah, it was last week. She would say that the dogs over there would just bark in the middle of the night for no reason. Matter of fact, it was this week when Lisa Hicks was talking about it. The dogs just bark and bark and bark and bark, and there's nobody outside. The dogs basically run the streets, the street dogs, in the rural countries, in the countryside, and they would just go off at no reason. Nobody can walk the streets. You walk the streets, and you've taken your life on your own hands, because those dogs, they gang up, They know each other by scent, by name. They probably got their own nickname thing going on, whatever, their special handshake. And they'll attack and jump on anything walking. And during the day, they're just as calm as can be. But a lot of people refer to dogs who just bark for no reason, dumb dogs. Now, a dog that does not bark where there's an intruder, the opposite, you also call that a dumb dog. Why didn't that dog bark? There is a stranger in the house. There's a stranger in the lawn, right? Nonetheless, dogs are sometimes the focus of many jokes. Now, potentially by now, you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor, why are you talking about dumb dogs? And I'm getting ready to answer this question right now. While there are good and bad things we can say about dogs, we can still learn some lessons from them. And the Lord our God, the Lord God Almighty, uses this phrase describing the watchman he had set forth to protect Israel. This is one of those negative things we learn from the term dumb dogs. Now, going back to the Word of God, the verse that I'm getting ready to bring to your attention is pretty much the basis, the foundation of everything that we're going to be talking about this evening. My opening scripture this evening is going to come from Isaiah chapter 56, and we're going to cover two verses. We're going to cover verses 10 and verses 11. Can I have that, please? And it says this, His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. And look what it says there. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. I feel better now presenting you this verse. Are we all on the same page now? Right? We're all see eye to eye. We're all together here. Now, I'm going to cover some of the things that were just described in just these two verses. In these two verses, there are many things that described the watchmen of Israel. And obviously, as you can see, our Lord God is disgusted by the way that some of these men are acting, how they are behaving. And ultimately, I want to shine light so that we don't go down that same path. The very first thing that I want to talk about is blindness. The context suggests that these men are blind by one reason, and that one reason is choice. They chose to be that way. The Bible speaks of those who choose, that purposely choose blindness, and they choose not to see the truth of God's word. They choose not to do God's will. Some people cannot help being blind, but to choose blindness, in my personal opinion, is very dumb. If you purposefully choose to be this way. And then that leads on to the very next thing that is also spoken about in this verse, which is ignorance. These people choose to know absolutely nothing. And we as Christians are commanded, and I've talked about this over and over again, We are instructed and we are commanded to grow in grace and knowledge. I speak about this all the time and have been, even before COVID-19, on our Tuesday morning service, How to Keep Your Healing. I've talked at length at what one must do in growing in knowledge, in grace, in understanding. Ultimately, is a choice that we make. I've spoken about this many times in Sunday morning. If we want to grow muscles, right, do we just focus and focus? Squeeze real hard. I'm going to grow muscles. No. No. You got to burn calories. You got to sweat. You got to run. You got to lift weights. You got to eat healthy. It's a choice, right? We purposely have to choose to do all these things. The Bible instructs us to grow in grace and knowledge. And we find this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18. And it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." A direct command, a direct instruction for every single one of us to follow by. And acquiring knowledge of God makes us more informed in doing one thing, and that is to please Him. And these people choose to remain ignorant of God's saving message, but they still want to enjoy the benefits. They want to enjoy the blessings. They want to enjoy all the perks, everything that the Lord has blessed us and promised us with, but they don't want to grow in the knowledge of our Lord. Knowledge of God is the greatest acquisition man has ever acquired. And many choose by choice to stay ignorant. And believe me when I say, when somebody chooses that route, they are punished. And I'm going to back this statement by reading a verse that we all know. Hosea chapter 4, verses 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Boy, these are some strong words, aren't they? If you stop and you dissect exactly what this one little verse is talking about, this is why Peter said for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's move on. The Bible here mentions in our opening verse, unable to bark. This means that when they should be barking, they are not. And as Christians, we ought to set for the defense of the gospel. We should be able to warn people that their souls are in danger. But these mentioned here are so out of focus, so out of tune, that they have no idea that a warning needs to be sounded. They're not connected. Air may be right under their nose, but they do not know any better, or that what is being done is condemned by God. This is a result of spiritual blindness and also ignorance that they have developed over the course of time. And then the Bible speaks about dreamers. These people have grand ideas and really think that God needs to get with the program. Like, "Lord, I have all of this going on, and I got this going on, and I have my schedule here, and please bless it. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." The Bible calls you a dreamer. They think they can save the world, yet they do not even look to try, but so even save themselves. They imagine that there are other ways in which God will accept them and others. These people will try any method and any means to acquire knowledge. Okay? But the one method that they will not use is studying the Bible. It's taking time in the Word. Spending time in the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Looking things up. And when you don't do these things, when you don't spend time with your book, yeah, you don't develop at all. The next thing the Bible refers to is lying down, meaning awake from your sleep. Now, folks, it is crunch time right now. And we better put on our battle gear, especially right now in these times, after COVID-19. There's great things getting ready to happen right now in the movement of God all over the world. And if we are not ready, we're going to be left behind. Can I please have Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is specific instructions to every single one of us who love God. And we are running out of time, so we need to be prepared. We need the preparation that we can enter battle and with force against the evil. And these people are so secure in themselves that they do not feel the need to do any preparation at all. They feel perfectly comfortable right there where they are, at their stand with God. And the enemy is prowling about. But they just lay there, usually just asleep. Now, I think that's pretty dumb if you ask me. The other thing that the other term that the Bible uses is love to slumber. And what does the Bible says about this? It says, consider the ant, thou sluggard. Doesn't it say that? Consider the ant. These people think that work will harm them in some way. But yet science has proven that inactivity will kill faster than any disease out there, just if you're not active. We are all, well now, we're not talking about Saturday afternoon naps right now. That's not what I'm referring to. I personally like to take my Sunday afternoon naps. That's my nap day. After church, usually I'm wiped out. So I go and I have lunch, and if I have a Sunday afternoon nap, I can take on the whole week. You'd be amazed. It just does wonders to me. But I'm not referring to that right now. We are talking about those who choose to not do anything for themselves or their souls. And that's not wise. The next thing is greed. Greedy is what the Word of God says. And the Bible associates greed with idolatry. Greed drives most of the world's economy these days. Many are not satisfied to just their job and then just simply enjoying life. They want more, and they want it, and they want it right now. They gamble with the hope of hitting the big one. They bet on just about anything imaginable. They jump into the quick riches schemes, even knowing that that is probably a scam. Greed has to be near, if not at the top of the list of sins by rank or danger. Simply greed. A Christian learns to be content at his or her situation very early on. And greed destroys contentment. Also, the Bible spoke about not being satisfied. Not being satisfied meaning there's just never not enough. Most people who gamble and hit the big one will usually turn around and spend it all trying to get an even bigger one. It is the excitement that you can profit that turns people on, that gets them going. It is no different than not doing your job, but expecting to be paid for your time. The scriptures mentions the wicked who are never satisfied. And in fact, it speaks of those who weary themselves doing what they should, but always find the strength to practice their wickedness. And who do we know who is never satisfied about anything in our personal lives? Could it be your boss, who is never satisfied with your performance? You always have to do more and more and more. You could do better. Okay, but you can do much better. Well, that happened to me last month. What have you done for me lately? That type of mentality. Could it be a spouse? Now, I'm not referring to my personal spouse. I have a wonderful wife. She's like level-headed. But you hear stuff. Directly or indirectly, some spouses are not reasonable. They're never satisfied. Nonetheless, I'll just leave it right there. Let's move on. And then the Bible mentions shepherds with no understanding. We are talking about the type of understanding that should get them to start serving God properly. That's what's referring to. Wisdom and understanding are crucial elements in our learning about God. But these people choose the wrong understanding, the choice that they make. And as shepherds, they should have been feeding the sheep, specifically talking about people, the instructions from God. The scripture tells us to trust in the Lord and lean not on what? Thy own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is what the shepherds, place at that time, were failing to do. And now, furthermore, it starts talking about turned their own way. And of course, this speaks to everyone who chooses a way other than the Lord's way. Our Lord Jesus says that He is the way, and Him alone is the way. And He mentions this in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But see, in this particular situation, people were making their own way, making their own rules, doing what they felt like doing. And by doing so, they make their own rules and their own laws and do nothing more than ease their own conscience, ultimately. That has to be the dumbest thing of all. And that's why they're called dumb dogs. Anyways, praise God. In conclusion of all of this, the sad thing is that we all know people who fit some of these descriptions. And there seems to be more of them around as time goes on. And the purpose of all of this is to take warning. Take warning and avoid the dumb dogs as described in the Word of God. Take this warning and examine yourself to make sure you do not display to others any lack of wisdom, that you don't display to others the fear of God in you, the love of God in you. And ultimately, this all means one thing. It is your choice. You choose to obey. You choose to follow instructions. You choose to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. Only you can make that choice. Amen, church? Amen. Let's close with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Lord, that we would be found worthy in your presence. And if there's anything, Lord, any area of our lives that's lacking, I pray, Lord, that your grace and your Holy Spirit would show us, Lord, exactly what to do. Lord, I pray that we won't be like those men whom I call dumb dogs, Lord, in your word, but that we can grow, Lord, in wisdom of you every single day, growing, Lord, in the knowledge of you. I thank you, Lord, for all of those who are here partaking, Lord, in the word of God. May you bless them, Lord, tremendously. And may you set, Lord, the fire in them to grow every single day as day goes on, Lord, in you, spending time in your word, speaking to you, Lord, on a regular basis. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that guides us every step of the way. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.